spring has sprung. I wonder where the birdie is. Better things to come. Praise the Lord. Forty years in the wilderness. That's what my wife thinks is a problem. I'm still 40 years in the wilderness. This is the fifth sermon. And series dealing with various problems that kept the church in the wilderness in the wilderness. That's what the Bible calls the church in the wilderness. Another one. Neither let us tempt Christ. Let's look at the passage. This is in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. The first verse begins, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank and they all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, that they also lusted. Some of the sermons we've already followed, lusting after evil things. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 320,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpent. So this is today's message. Neither let us tempt Christ. Numbers 21, 5 and 10, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our souls loathe this life bread." They have been given manna from heaven, and they didn't like it. They were dissatisfied. And so they spoke against God and against Moses. "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against Jehovah our God and against you. Pray unto Jehovah God that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people." Typical situation where when people get into problems because of what they do wrong, then they appeal for, help me, save me. And then the preachers go back and try to help them. And that's what Moses did. "And Jehovah said, God said unto Moses, make you a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." So God offered them a solution. In Psalm 78:13-42, this whole event is restated in the poetic style in which David wrote. He says, "He divided the sea and caused him to pass through, and he made the waters to stand up as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness, and gave them drink as out of great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Now this is, of course, the New Testament says it tempted Christ. In the original, it says they tempted God. So the conclusion, of course, is obviously that Christ was God. And, of course, that is correct. Yea, they spoke against God. It says they spoke against God and against Moses. And they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? So they were doubtful. They were not believing. They were not trusting. And it got them into all kinds of problems. Therefore, Jehovah God heard this and was angry. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger came out against Israel, because they believed not God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of the heaven, man did eat angel food. Angel food started way back there. And he sent the meat to the full. And he caused the east wind to blow into heaven. By his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. That's when he brought the birds in so that they could have meat, because they didn't like what they were getting. And he let it fall upon the midst of their camp and round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them of their own desire. They were not estranged from their lusts, though. But while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this, they sinned still and believed not his wondrous works. Therefore, their days did consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. They didn't listen to God. They didn't trust him. They complained and spoke against him. So God drew his help and his strength from them and let them have trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him. And they turned and inquired early after God. And all of a sudden there, it's God help us. We need help, Lord. We believe in you. And they remembered that God was their rock, the high God, their redeemer. You know, that there's that foxhole religion. You know, things when the going gets tough, a lot of times people get very religious. And when the nation is in trouble, usually that's what happens. All of a sudden there's a turn back from God and help. And then people start praying. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Now, there he touches his finger on the real problem. Their heart was not right. Jesus said, from the heart, the mouth speaks. And if the heart isn't right, it doesn't solve anything. So, they were not right, and they were not steadfast in covenant. They were not loyal to him, but loyal to themselves. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and comes not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. That's what happens when people don't do right. They tempt God to bring wrath upon them, to not give them the things that they need, that He wants for them. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. God can't bless them because they don't behave. They do wrong, and the result is that they receive the consequences of their own behavior. In 1 Corinthians 10, 11, and 12, it says now concerning the same thing, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world came." So those things back there aren't just a bunch of old stories. Those are things that God wants us to know because we need to know and learn from them. See how God handled the situation and the things that they did wrong. "Wherefore let him that thinks and take heed lest he fall." Very important thing to realize that this is not abstract. This is personal. We need to realize that we can fall into the same kind of traps. "Neither let us tempt Christ." That's what it said. They tempted Christ by speaking against God and Moses. Numbers 21, 5 and 10 says, "And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness?" Notice the false accusation. God didn't bring them up to die. It was they who were making the choices that were going to cause them to stay in the wilderness and die. God took them up to the promised land and was ready to bring them in. But instead they falsely reported how the land was. They didn't trust that God could do it. "The people are too big in the land. We can't accomplish the work that you sent us to do." See, their problem was they didn't believe God. They were trusting in themselves and their own weakness. So they spoke against God and against Moses, and the result was that they were turned back into the land and the wilderness and wandered for 40 years. "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread." Well, God was providing bread. He just didn't give them what they wanted. You know, they wanted cakes and leeks and garlics and all those kinds of things down there in Egypt when they were enslaved. So often that's the problem. People think in terms of all the fun things they have out in the world. And it's all this, that they don't like this bread. "You're not giving us things that we like to hear." Well, let's look at some of the second text application here. It was actually in the text itself. They were tempting Christ by eating meat sacrificed to idols in the idol temple. That's the text. If you read chapter 8, 9, and 10 of 1 Corinthians, you'll see that that's the whole thing is all dealing with the problem of meat sacrificed to idols. Now, the meat actually wasn't itself what was the problem. That which goes into the body doesn't defile a man, Jesus said. The problem was what was in their hearts and their and how they were affecting others. So they were open to falling into temptation by being participants in these idolatrous sacrifices and also of harming others, leading them into the same kind of problems. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 through 14 says, "There is no temptation taken you but such as man can bear. But God is faithful." That's the important thing. Get that message. God is faithful. God is faithful. "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able." Now people like to stop there. "God, take away my temptation." And then they participate in the thing. "God, keep me from being involved in pornography." God, keep me from womanizing. God, keep me from stealing. You know, God is supposed to take the temptation away. God is faithful.
True.
He will not tempt you to allow you to be tempted above what you're able. Able. That is, you could do something about it. People say, oh, I can't help myself. Well, imagine yourself where you are about to steal something, and somebody is standing there with an axe, and he's going to chop off your hand. Would you do it? No, it isn't ability. It's choice. But notice what he says here. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape? That's what people will want to leave out. He makes a way of escape to solve the problem that you may be able to bear. The problem is escaping. What about way back there with Joseph? You know, he could have participated with this woman, this temptation, but what did he do? He beat feet. He left his coat. He took off. He ran. What we need to do is to escape the problem rather than stay and play around with it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Idolatry was enticing. There were a lot of nice things and fun things in idolatry. But the solution wasn't to go and sit in the idol's temple, but to get out of there. Separate yourself. 1 Corinthians 10:15 says, I speak as to wise men. Touch you what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? You know, we just had the Lord's Supper here. This is what we're doing. We're communing with Christ. For we, being many, are one bread and one body, and are all partakers of that one bread. We're all one in Christ. The bread signifies that relationship. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat the sacrifices partakers with the altar? So when you participate in this, you are participating with the original intent. You're not, and saying this about this meat sacrifice to idols, he says, so he makes the application, and what say I then? That an idol is anything, or that which is offered to sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons, and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with demons. What are you doing involved in these things? It says. You're communicating with the demons. And, of course, they justify it. Oh, we know that if an idol is not, we can go in there and enjoy a good steak. But he says, no. He says, you are a participant in that stuff. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of demons. How can you go in and sit in these idol temples and eat this meat sacrificed to idols and not and claim that you are not participating with the source? Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy, or are we stronger than he? He raised this question. You expect, and you think you're stronger than God. You can go and sit there. You can eat this meat sacrificed to idols. And God, who doesn't, and you're tempting God, basically. In 1 Corinthians 8:9-12, he says, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that were weak. It wasn't the eating of the meat that was the problem. They said, well, we have liberty. We have freedom. But he says, beware, because your freedom may be a stumbling block to the weak. For if any man see you who have knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be involved and to eat the things which are offered to idols. Okay? Where we go, what circumstances we get into, affects other people. People think, well, it don't matter to me if I go in and sit in the bar and, you know, drink it up. Do you realize the effect you have on others? How does it affect your children? How, and the same way, if you're going to go in and watch some of these movies and things like that that are so corrupt, how, your influence is going to have an influence on your children and others. Consider that. And through your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. So when we cause other, you know, Jesus said that if a person caused one of these little ones to stumble, he said he'd be better to go out and put a millstone around his neck and be thrown into the sea. Let's take an application update today. Tempting Christ by speaking against God and the church leaders who provide spiritual food. People don't like what the Bible says, so they attack the church. And they, you know, this, the Bible's old-fashioned, it's bad in some way. You see this all the time. Constant attacks being put on the church and on what the Bible says. They don't like the preaching. You know, it isn't fun enough. Not enough cotton candy to it. Let's have all the nice things preached. You know, the, I always tell people, if you don't like it here, go down the street to the church of the itching ears. Because the Bible says that they have itching ears, they won't turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They don't like the preaching. They want the church to be like the world. We need to be all like everybody else, you know. And we shouldn't be different. We shouldn't preach these things about homosexuality and fornication, shacking up and lying and stealing and all that. We shouldn't really talk about those things. That's religious. You know, I often think they want to get rid of the Ten Commandments. How do you get rid of the Ten Commandments? It's written out, you mean we can kill people? You mean we can steal? They're trimming them back more and more all the time, but God is still God. That's the Supreme Court. That's the really Supreme Court. It's going to be appealed. All these decisions to justify all this other stuff is going to be appealed to the Supreme Court of God. They insist on living like the world, but expect us to solve the consequences of their bad choices without any changes. Such a frustration in dealing with these kind of things. People want to live, they ignore, they do their thing, and the chickens come home to roost, and they're unhappy with us because we haven't solved their problems. It's incredible. Conclusion. You tempt Christ. Ask yourself, are we tempting Christ by ignoring him, by not liking his word preached, not by attacking his leadership? Are we tempting Christ? Do you speak against the teachings of Christ, the leaders of the church for which he died? Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have to rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And that's our job. We try to do that. As they that must give account, we're going to give account to God for all of you. That they may do this with joy. Now, I really, I wouldn't preach all the money. There isn't enough in it. But the one thing that I do preach for, and the one thing I believe for, and started this church for, because I care about what happens to people. What are they going to do with their lives? What is going to happen to them if they don't? And fortunately, over the years, I've seen both sides of the thing. On the one hand, they do things that are good and wonderful and blessing, and it's a wonderful reward. It is the most satisfying thing to see people become successful, even if they've had a bad situation in the back. To see them succeed, to see them accomplish something, to have good homes and good families where they've come out of bad situations. That's the blessing. That is the major reward that I have. But the other thing is, I look back over sometimes the old pictures that we have, and where I should be enjoying the people who have succeeded and done well, unfortunately, it's the ones that have done terrible, made a mess of things, that have that are a pain. They blur the picture for everybody else. And I feel terribly bad for them, but they won't listen. And no matter what we do, we end up getting blamed for it. We're the bad guys. We failed them some way. This is what really hurts a lot of times. You do everything you can. You sacrifice. You want to help. And you try to. But then, it didn't work. So we hear and saying, well, it didn't work for me. What didn't work is to do what's right. Didn't listen. That's where the problem is. And if they had listened and done what was right, there wouldn't be any problem. But then we hit the back because somehow we failed it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 13 says, but we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you and esteem you. You know, if people would just be at peace among themselves, things would be a whole lot better. They aren't at peace among themselves. They want to squabble. They want to. They're not happy with how God. I met people say, what did God ever do for me? Well, my answer is, what did you ever do for God? You know, God's done a lot for you. You just don't appreciate it. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them that had the rule over you, men that spake unto you the word of God? So what? Is there no value to that? You speak the word of God? In this church, I'll tell you, they get more word of God than probably, or let's say, as much as they get in any church, any place. We're very strong on teaching the word of God. The problem isn't what they don't know, it's what they won't do. And consider the issue of their life, imitate their faith. People sacrifice, and they give, care, spend their time. So many times people don't appreciate it. All they want to do is complain and blame. Beware of bashing the bride of Christ. People attack the church. They say, the church is this and this. They either attack the local church, sometimes the whole, all churches, or our churches. I hear that they call it the CUC. You know what that is? It's the Church of Christ. The CUC is kind of a tempting way of speaking of the church. But I know people who do it. And, of course, we're the bad guys for not putting them in charge and letting themselves run things. 1 Corinthians 10:9 says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and we destroyed the serpents. I want you to notice that. There were consequences. there were consequences. They did what was wrong. They didn't listen to God. They didn't appreciate what God said, and the result was that God destroyed them. Why are people in the wilderness? They'll be there for 40 years and longer because they don't listen to God. They don't do what they're supposed to do because they attack the leadership that would guide them out of the wilderness. That's what the problem was. God has made a way of escape. You know, there's, you get into these things, sure, and people are in the situations. But you know, God has a way of escape. He's forgotten. He cares. And we care. The problem is that people won't take the way of escape. They do as they please. And they want to dictate to others how everything should be done. You know, they know. They have the answers. And yet they can't solve their own problems. But God has made a way of escape. People need to take it. John 3:14-16. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. And I think he's talking about belief, not in the sense of the devil's belief, who trembled, but in the sense of God's belief, who obeyed what God asked him to do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God only wants what is good. He wants what's good for us. He's not trying to make it hard. He's not trying to be mean to us. He's trying to help. You know, and that's what, the same way with us as leaders of the church. All we have ever wanted was for people to have happy lives, to be right with God, and to have the great and wonderful things that God gives for those who listen to him and believe in him, trust him. It's all we've ever wanted. That's our reward, to see that happen. But so many times people don't listen. They don't take the way of escape. And they end up in all kinds of trouble. And the next thing you know, they're blaming us. I have decided to follow Jesus. The question is, have you decided to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back. Let's be standing and singing.